On Sunday, October 1st at 11 p.m., Sugin My Bowl presents drummer, composer, bandleader, and pianist Jack DeJeanette. Join us as we discuss some of Jack DeJeanette's career and his upcoming New York appearance. That's Sunday, October 1st at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugin My Bowl's the name of this program, and my name is Joyce Jones. Our guest for this evening is drummer, composer, and pianist, Jack DeJeanette. Jack DeJeanette will be in New York at JALC on October 6th and 7th. He'll be with the supergroup Hudson, and we're going to open the program with the title cut from Hudson. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugin My Bowl, starting now.
Close. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl.
Hi, my name's Joyce Jones, and I'm on the line with...
Jack DeJohnette.
Jack DeJohnette, thank you so much for joining Sugar in My Bowl. I appreciate your being with us right now.
Uh-huh.
Now, you were born in Chicago in 1942, yes?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What was it like growing up musically in Chicago for you?
Oh, it was rich. Rich with all kinds of music. Everything. Chicago was the dropping off point for musicians coming up from the South and from St. Louis. They came to Chicago and then went on to New York. So it had everything. Jazz, blues, country, western, gospel, you know, you name it. It was there. You know, avant-garde, everything.
You apparently started, your first instrument of focus was piano. How did you switch to the drum kit?
Still is.
Oh, okay.
Still is.
What do you do on piano these days? Is it,
well,
do you use
I
it for composition?
Solo, well, I use it for compositions, but I've also recorded on piano. I've done a couple of piano albums, and most recently a solo piano album on a vinyl-only label called Nouvelle Records called Return.
My parents had me start taking piano lessons at around 4 or 5, and I studied, but I had formal lessons playing classical music. You know, I started working professionally as a pianist in Chicago, playing the trios, solos. When I did start playing drums, I used to practice each instrument, 4 hours a day. Having the piano knowledge helped me the way I tuned my drums and the way I related to harmony, melody, and rhythm. So I have a penchant for writing compositions dedicated to artists who've inspired me. So for the recording, I wrote especially a composition that was inspired by Eric Satie. And, you know, he wrote a few Jenny P pieces, and it's something about those pieces that just make you feel at peace and tranquil. So I sat down at the piano at home and just started with the bass notes and the chords. But I didn't want it to take off, you know, exactly. But I wanted to get the flavor, the essence of Satie. My process of composing, mostly I write at the piano. Sometimes I'll come up with titles and the composition will come as a result of the title. And usually I improvise, you know, melodies or chords, and I find something that grabs me, then I'll move it around. I'm like a colorist on the drums. I think of myself more as a colorist, like a painter. So, you know, I can work within time, but I can also be free of it, more elastic in that sense. And piano's the same way. Well, one of the reasons I chose play the Fazioli, which is the 9-foot grand we have here, was actually through Herbie Hancock and actually Jerry Allen, and both of them were raving about it. Actually, Jerry made a recording, I think a recording on Concord, I was on it with her, and she asked for Fazioli, I think, for that recording. I decided to record with Nivelle because they came to me and said, it'd be like if you do a solo piano record. And we're going to do it on vinyl, which was unique and intriguing. So it sort of gives me inspiration to develop some new compositions, you know. One of the best musical endeavors I've ever done.
This is a composition that I wrote. It was originally recorded on an album on ECM called Album Album from one of my groups, the quintet. It's called Special Edition. So this is called Ebony. And it's also on my solo piano album. So hope you enjoy it.
And I've also played piano on some of my own recording.
How did you wind up going to drum kit from piano?
Well, I mean, you know, I played both when I finally did switch when I was in my teens. In high school, I developed my ability to play the drums as well as the piano equally, so I was hired on both instruments in Chicago.
Oh, great. And your introduction to the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians, how did that happen?
Well, I was involved in Mulhall Richard Abrams' Experimental Orchestra before it officially became the AACM. Henry Thrinch Gill, Roscoe Mitchell, Joseph Jarman, Malachi Favors, just to name a few. Many others were part of this orchestra. Out of those orchestras came the AACM.
Yeah. Who originated was Roscoe Mitchell. Gary Gray, Henry Threadgill, myself, Jack DeJohnette. Thank you, Chicago, so much. We really, really enjoyed playing for you. May the great spirit bless you, keep you. Peace. Good night. Thank you.
I went to New York the next year before the Mulholland and Roscoe put the charter together and made it an official.
Did you work with Phil Coran as well?
No, but I knew Phil.
Oh, okay.
I knew Phil, yeah. I might have played with him at Sun Ra, actually, because I worked with Sun Ra when I was in Chicago.
Wow, what was that like for you?
Fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Amazing. I also worked with him again when he came to New York.
Oh, okay.
Everybody comes to wind up in New York, because New York's the Mecca.
Right.
You know, for the arts. You know.
What did you play when you were with Sun Ra?
Played his music. You know, played played Sun Ra's music. That's what he wrote, and you know, it was challenging, and it was a lot of fun. Also,
did you also stay in the house?
No, I wasn't with him at that time.
Oh, okay.
No, in Chicago, that wasn't happening. That was Philadelphia. I was later.
You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar and My Bowl's the name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones. Our guest for this evening is Jack DeJohnette. What you're listening to right now in the background is the Charles Lloyd Quartet, Little Wahid's Day, from Charles Lloyd in Europe. This is a 1968 Atlantic Records release. Charles Lloyd on tenor saxophone, flute. He's also the composer. Jack DeJohnette on drums. Cecil McBee on bass and Keith Jarrett on piano. Before that, we heard 10 Minutes from Jack DeJohnette's release, Made in Chicago, live at the Chicago Jazz Festival. This is a 2016 ECM Records release. Jack DeJohnette on drums, Henry Threadgill on alto saxophone, bass flute on others, Roscoe Mitchell on soprano, and alto saxophone, Baruch flute and bass recorder, Mulholland Richard Abrams on piano, and Larry Gray on double bass and violoncello. Before that, we heard Jerry Allen's Unconditional Love from her The Life of a Song release. That was released in 2004 on Telarc Jazz. Jerry Allen on piano, Dave Holland on bass, and Jack DeJohnette on drums. Before that, we heard Lydia from Jack DeJohnette's piano album, Landmark Records. This is a 1985 release. Jack DeJohnette on piano, synthesizer on others, Eddie Gomez on bass, and Freddie Waits on drums. Before that, we heard Ebony from Jack DeJohnette's piano solo release. This is the information I have. It is hard to find this thing, but it is on JZM Records, and it was released in 2016, and that is Jack DeJohnette on solo piano. We also heard audio from a promo video for Jack DeJohnette's return. Unfortunately, I did not have that available because it is only available on vinyl. And this is a 2016 Nouvelle Records release. Before that, we heard, as mentioned, the title track from Hudson, from the supergroup Hudson. This was released earlier this year on ECM Records. Jack DeJohnette on drums, tom-tom, wooden flute, and vocals. Larry Grenadier on acoustic bass and vocals. John Medeski, former Sugar Guests, on piano, Rhodes, electric piano, Hammond B3 organ, wooden flute, and vocals, and John Schofield on guitar and wooden flute. And, of course, we opened our program with our theme from Nina Simone, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl. This is from the very best of Nina Simone, Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. This is an RCA BMG release, originally recorded in 1967. This is from a 1998 RCA BMG compilation. Stay tuned for a little more from Jacques Dejeunette as we get ready for our On the Bandstand segment with our associate producer, Hank Williams. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl continues.
How did you eventually make your way to playing with Charles Lloyd's quartet?
Well, I've been freelancing around New York. You know, I came to New York in 1964 and freelanced, and I knew Charles and heard him, and then he hired me. I had a reputation, and he hired me. And at the time, he wanted to form a new group, and so I had been playing with Cecil McBee and Jackie McLean and Bobby Hutcherson in various groups around New York City. And I had heard Keith Jarrett. Charles asked me about a pianist, and I heard Keith playing with Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. Charles had heard him also. And then Cecil McBee, I recommended Cecil McBee, and that's how the Charles Art Quartet was formed.
Wonderful. Thank you.
evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for October 1st. This segment features aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can see them live. And this week's show features drummer Jack Dejanet. He'll be at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Rose Theater on October 6th through 7th with Hudson. That's the supergroup with organist and former Sugar guest John Medeski, guitarist John Schofield, and bassist Larry Grenadier. Before we get to our listings, a quick reminder that WBAI's Fall Fun Drive starts tomorrow, and the station needs your help to stay on the air. See the Support WBAI link on our site for ways that you can help support the station. And we have many more listings for you this week. We start with drummer and percussionist Hamid Drake, who is with percussionist Adam Rudolph's Moving Pictures at the Jazz Gallery from October 3rd through 4th. Drummer Lenny White is at the Village Vanguard with Rini Rosnes' quartet from the 3rd through the 8th. Drummer and percussionist Bobby Sanabria teaches a six-session class on the roots and rhythms of Latin jazz at Jazz at Lincoln Center Wednesday nights from October 4th through November 8th. Bassist Ron Carter leads a big band at Birdland from the 3rd through the 7th, a quartet also at Birdland from the 10th to the 14th, and a trio from the 17th through the 21st. Vocalist Kurt Elling lands at Birdland for an early set to raise funds for hurricane relief on the 4th. Vision Fest promoters Arts for Art are sponsoring a Race and Resistance on Columbus Weekend Festival from the 7th through 9th at El Taller Latino Americano, that's 215 East 99th in Manhattan. Drummer Francisco Moracatlet's Afro Horn with trumpeter Ahmed Abdullah is on the 7th, with sets by poet Jesus Papaleto Melendez and trombonist Craig Harris later that evening. On the 8th, poet Quincy Troop and guitarist Kelvin Bell have a set, followed by multi-instrumentalist Cooper Moore. On Monday the 9th, the event wraps up with bassist William Parker's Songs of Freedom, featuring dancer Patricia Nicholson Parker and drummer percussionist Hamid Drake. Drummer J.T. Lewis is with Brandon Ross at Roulette in Brooklyn on the 10th. Pianist David Bireas is at the Jazz Gallery on the 13th with Roman Filiu. Trombonist Craig Harris is at the Community Church of New York in Manhattan on the 13th with Steve and Equa Colson, and that's part of AACM New York Chapter's Fall Concert Series. Vocalist Lisa Fisher is at New Jersey's South Orange Performing Arts Center on the 14th with Grand Baton. Saxophonist Gary Bartz is at the Blue Note on the 17th with pianist McCoy Tyner. Pianist Harold Mayburn leads a trio at Smalls on the 18th. Finally, the Brick Arts Media Jazz Fest runs from October 14th to 21st at their downtown Brooklyn location, and it starts with screenings of the documentary films Chasing Train and I Called Him Morgan on the 14th through the 15th, and ends with three marathon nights of music from the 19th to the 21st. We'll have full info on it next time, but until then, you can see a preview on our blog. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on our blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog, where you'll also find reviews, features, and jazz news. And Sugar is spelled S-U-G-A. Playlists and audio from this and previous shows are also on the website. If you're on Twitter and Facebook, look for us there too, where we'd appreciate likes, tweets, and shares with your friends. And if you really like what we do, please help the station stay on the air by pledging whatever you can. Consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. The Support WBAI link on our website has full details on that. This is Hank Williams signing off with our bi-weekly schedule. We're off the air next week, but we'll have updated event listings online and be back on air on Sunday, October 15th. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on The Bandstand.
I'm Michael G. Haskins, and on Monday, October 2nd at 6 a.m., WBAI begins its fall membership drive, and we need your help. As October unfolds, we will be presenting some of our finest documentary films from your favorite producers, not to mention the arts, music, and culture WBAI has been known for the past 57 years and counting. You can now text your contribution to WBAI, visit our website, become a sustaining member, or call our pledge line at 516-620-3602. Whatever you do, the important thing is to join us in supporting this listener-sponsored community radio station. Did I mention our website? See, you thought I forgot. WBAI.org. See you on October 2nd.
Like many of you, like many Americans, I have felt frustrated and betrayed by the state of the mainstream media in this country, a media whose priorities seem out of step with their responsibilities. We need a media that strengthens democracy, not a media that strengthens the government. We need a media that enriches public discourse, not one that enriches corporations.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and this is WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
Did you wind up playing with Miles immediately after playing with Charles Lloyd?
No, I freelanced around New York. Yeah. I played with Betty Carter. I worked with Bill Evans, mm-hmm. worked with Stan Getz and Freddie Hubbard. And I also played, actually sat in with John Coltrane in Chicago in the early 60s at the Plug Nickel. And that had Alice Coltrane, Jimmy Garrison, Pharoah Sanders, and also one of the nights there, Roscoe Mitchell came and sat in also.
Ah. I heard that you played alongside Rashid Ali. He was part of that group as well, yes?
Absolutely. Fantastic yeah. musician, yeah.
So Coltrane had two drummers then?
Right.
Oh, wonderful. Was that ever recorded?
No.
Oh.
Unfortunately not.
So you're playing with Miles. Of course, I have to raise that question. What was the call?
Well, actually, I played Miles earlier because Miles heard me play with Jackie McLean, and there was a period where Tony Williams was not able to play with Miles, so I subbed for him. And so I did some gigs in New York and Washington. So Miles and I met early on, and then later when Tony left to form his band Lifetime, I joined Miles again.
What did that do for your playing as a musician and artist?
Well, I mean, you know, it did for me what playing with Coltrane did. You know, it actually, you know, gave me confidence in what I was doing and the directions I was going in musically, and that my contribution was valued deeply by these men.
I noticed that you also recorded, while you were with Miles, your own project.
Right.
The Dejanet Complex? Mm-hmm. How did you feel like, okay, I'm ready to do this now? What was the thing that motivated you?
Well, you know, I recorded for Milestone Records, and Orrin Keith News, who was the owner of the label, said, okay, present me with a concept. So I took my time and presented a concept with one of my favorite drummers, Roy Haynes, and then Stanley Cowell on piano, two bass players, Eddie Gomez and Miroslav Vitos. Mm-hmm. And Beanie Maupin on the saxophone and flute, and wrote my own pieces, you know, and so that's how that came up.
Yes, that I noticed. Actually, how long had you been doing that? Did you just pick it up for this recording, or?
No, I played that all through in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
I used to sit in at jam sessions and things like that. So I was well-versed in it before I came to New York.
Wow. It actually has a very nice sound to this recording. It's really good. So then I guess having had the experience of recording and being, you know, as a leader, well, let's see what happened. You wound up working with ECM, the label. By the way, Tina and Sarah, they send their love.
Okay,
they told me to convey this since they knew I was going to talk.
Okay, great. Thanks.
working with ECM, that looks like, to this day, a very great opportunity, having met them.
Well, I mean, Manfred Eicher is a very special, highly artistic producer. He played double bass in the symphony orchestra in Munich, and he produced classical records for Dutch Gramophone, a classical music label there. So he had a great artistic ability to have an interest in all types of music, world music, so-called free music, classical music. And that's one of the greatest independent labels going around in the world. And he's still recording incredible music with incredible sound and artistic integrity.
We'll be right back.
understand that by the time you started your group, Special Edition, you were one of the most recorded musicians on the label.
Yeah, I did a lot of projects with other people, you know. And it's been a very, very highly creative, professional, and personally rewarding relationship over the years. So I've got together with a Colette trio with the late John Abercrombie, I'm sorry to say, and Dave Holland, the Gateway Trio.
Thank you.
Yes.
And we spent a lot of great years together making music. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the last 30 years or so with Keith Jarrett and Gary Peacock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That trio.
And there's going to be some more releases of that trio early on. And, you know, I recorded Made in Chicago with sort of a reunion with Roscoe and Harry Threadgill, great Chicago all-around musician Larry Gray on the bass and cello, and Moo Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And then recorded the album with the trio with the sort of my godsons, Robbie Coltrane and Matthew Garrison.
Right.
And I just recorded an album with the great Tunisian oud player Anwar Brahim. Thank you.
Yes.
With Dave Holland and Django Bates, which will be released next year. We'll be doing a tour of Europe in April next year.
Actually, the recording is going to be released on October 13th.
Uh-huh.
Tina told me to make sure I state that.
Uh-huh. Oh, great. Yeah.
And as a matter of fact,
beautiful music.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to share some of it with our audience this evening.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, tell the audience a little more about Special Edition, because there are a lot of people that you wound up working with through there. How did you wind up deciding who would be involved in that project?
Well, I mean, you know, I just was listening to the latest players on the scene. Mm-hmm. You know, the first Special Edition was Peter Warren and David Murray and Arthur Blythe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the personnel turned around. Later it had Chico Freeman and John Purcell. And then later you got Greg Osby and Gary Thomas, mm-hmm, and Mick Goodrick. And later on, after Mick, the great multi-instrumentalist Michael Caine, mm-hmm, came in, played on piano. And Marvin Sewell played a little bit with me. And so, yeah, it had quite a lot of people in it. So it's basically was horn-based. Also, yeah, I had Howard Johnson,
yes,
also played tuba and baritone.
Yes.
And
Bakita Carroll.
Reed, great Rufus Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bakita. So, yeah, it's based on horns, and it helped me write for ensemble, you know, so that helped me develop my writing for that.
Oh, okay. Did you study writing and composition?
Well, yeah, I mean, I had to write.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I listened, you know, and, you know, hung around with people like Muhal and, mm-hmm, listened and worked on writing myself, so, mm-hmm, to develop my own skills.
Excellent. On the subject of studying, I know you've taught workshops. Have you taught university?
Oh, yeah. I've been artist in residence at, mm-hmm, many universities. You know, I've been to Berkeley. I've been to up in Canada, Humber College. You know, I've done that. Yeah, I still do that occasionally.
And when you're teaching, what is it that is your focus?
Well, improvisation, you know, mm-hmm, and listening to other players and giving them feedback on what they're doing.
By the way, I want to ask you before I forget, are there any drummers that are of interest to you presently that really stand out for you, that you're keeping an eye on?
Well, you know, Justin Brown, let's see, Marcus Gilmore, Nasheed Waits, Coach O'Rooney,
yes,
Terry Lynn Carrington, uh-huh, of course, and Bill Stewart, let's see who else, Chris Day. That's it at the moment.
Okay. I suspect there's more. It's just not. Yeah, you've named some heavy hitters.
Yeah, Kendrick Scott. Oh yeah, Jameel Brown.
Jameel Brown. Yes.
He's
on Motema.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Cool. You've named several of my favorites. I also like Jonathan Blake. He's really good, too.
Uh-huh. Good.
Since you've had access to a long list of folks with whom you've worked over the years, what percentage contributes to your explorations musically? The relationships themselves or the projects?
Oh, I mean, if I hear something in the player and in the music, I do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I get involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't, I pass.
I guess I was also thinking with regard to your own projects. How do you decide that, you know, this is the person? I mean, is it because you want to work with that person, or you have a project and you think that person would sound great in it?
A combination of both.
Okay.
You know, now I usually write for the personalities and the vibration of the people I work with.
And on the subject of vibration, Hudson.
Uh-huh.
That, actually, you know, it's funny, I don't know who decided what the cover art was going to be. It was probably the record label. But in listening, in seeing the lineup of artists involved in the group Hudson, I know John Medeski is very active in anti-fracking situations with the environment. And I get the impression that all the other musicians are the same, such as yourself. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, I mean, well, we've done benefits for that up here, you know. So everybody's aware, and everybody loves living in the Hudson Valley. And, of course, we raised our families here, and it feeds our creative appetites.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, gives us peace of mind for up here. So, you know, the idea to come together for this year, my 75th year, was a great idea that everybody really liked, and we came together and said we wanted to play grooves, originals, and cover songs of some of the people who were here, and important people in 69, the Woodstock Festival, which was Jimi Hendrix, Joni Mitchell, and the band, and Bob Dylan.
And everybody was available, fortunately, became available.
Yeah, we've been having a good time.
Yeah, and you're going to be in New York in October. You're going to be at Jazz at Lincoln Center.
6 and 7.
Yes.
6 and 7.
And we're definitely looking forward to that. You've rehearsed for that, and what you'll be providing
Well, I mean, we've been doing concerts, you know. We've been doing gigs. We started doing gigs in June.
Okay.
And we played Newport, and we played Detroit. So, you know, we're playing our first gig is in Poughkeepsie at the Bartleman Theater on October 4th. So we're ready.
Excellent. I'm sure. I'm sure you are. There's one thing I'd like to talk about. Golden Beam Productions. That is your production company.
Well, it's no longer working anymore, you know. But we still have catalogs, so I sell my CDs at different places.
Oh, okay. Is there a desire to start up another production company, or?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No. No.
Well, Jack DeJohnette, I'm not going to keep you much longer. I really appreciate that you've spent some time. Is there something you want to share with the WBAI audience before we move forward?
No, just, you know, fill up the house both nights at the Jazz at Lincoln Center. You'll have a good time.
And we're looking forward to seeing you at Jazz at Lincoln Center. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, you're welcome.
You're listening to the closing moments of Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. Our guest for this evening was Jack DeJohnette, and we are extremely happy that he was able to squeeze us into his very busy schedule. What we're listening to right now is Song for World Forgiveness from Hudson. This is their 2017 ECM Records release. Jack DeJohnette on drums, Tom Tom wooden flute, vocals, Larry Grenadier on acoustic bass and vocals, John Medeski on piano, Rhodes electric piano, Hammond B3 organ, wooden flute, vocals, and John Schofield on guitar and wooden flute. Just a reminder, Hudson will be at Jazz at Lincoln Center on October 6th and 7th. You can find out more by going to jalc.org, jalc.org. And before that, we heard Opening Day from Anwar Brahim, oud player, and this will be released on October 13th. Blue, spelled M-A-Q-A-M-S, Blue Makams. Anwar Brahim on oud, another former Sugar guest, Dave Holland on bass, Jack DeJeanette on drums, and Django Bates on piano. Before that, we heard Jamala from Gateway. That is the name of the group as well. This is a 1975 ECM Records release. Jack DeJeanette on drums, Dave Holland on bass, and the late John Abercrombie on guitar. Before that, we heard One for Eric from Jack DeJeanette's Special Edition. This is a ECM release, originally recorded in 1980. This was taken from a 2012 box set. Jack DeJeanette on drums, piano, melodica, and he is also the producer of this release. Arthur Blythe on alto saxophone, David Murray on tenor saxophone, bass clarinet, Peter Warren on bass and cello. Before that, we heard Equipose from Jack DeJeanette's release, The DeJeanette Complex. This is a 1970 CBS Records release. Jack DeJeanette on melodica, Roy Haynes on drums for this selection, Stanley Cowell on tenor saxophone, and Miroslav Vitus on bass. On two other selections, Eddie Gomez plays bass. Before that, we heard Sanctuary from the Miles Davis Quintet, Live in Europe, 1969, the Bootleg Series, Volume 2. Columbia Records, originally recorded in 1969. This is a 2013 box set. Miles Davis on trumpet, Jack DeJeanette on drums, Wayne Shorter on tenor and soprano saxophone, Chick Corea on electric and acoustic piano, Dave Holland on bass. Before that, we heard Rashid from Jack DeJeanette, Robbie Coltrane, and Matthew Garrison. This is the 2016 ECM Records release, In Movement. Jack DeJeanette on drums, piano, electronic percussion, Robbie Coltrane on tenor, soprano, and sopranino saxophones, and Matthew Garrison on bass. And before our On the Bandstand segment, we heard an excerpt from Love Ship. That's the Charles Lloyd Quartet from Dreamweaver, 1966 Atlantic Records. Charles Lloyd on tenor saxophone flute, Jack DeJeanette on drums, Cecil McBee on bass, and Keith Jarrett on piano. Stay tuned, La Nueva Alternativa is scheduled to happen next. We will be back on October 15th, and WBAI will be asking for your support starting tomorrow. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Stay tuned.
Hello? Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.